I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia. Hi, friends. Welcome back.
Hello.
Has it been a while? No. It's only been a week.
It's only been a week.
I know. But I'm sure you missed us nonetheless.
I'm sure you did.
Haley and I were just talking about my britches.
We were.
I have paint on them.
You do.
Apparently, these are older, and apparently I wore them. I try to be smart when I'm painting and wear old clothes because I will make a mess.
Oh, me too.
But these are, I guess, I had them in my dresser for a long time, but anyway, I took them out and I was like, oh, where are these today? And then it's in the inner part of my thigh where it is. It looks inappropriate. I'm just gonna say that. We're gonna leave that there, but I'm just gonna say it's probably a lot of questions when people are like, what the heck? No, yeah. It won't come out.
Yikes. Alrighty!
Yikes.
So I don't know how to respond to that. Jeepers creepers. I don't know.
Where'd you get those
britches?
The Amazon?
Amazon?
Yeah.
I don't know where these guys came from. They're very comfortable, though.
These guys?
These guys. These leggings? These guys?
Those are nice. Nice leggings.
Very comfortable. Mm-hmm. Got a big old bruise on my knee that I'm unsure about how I got. It just,
you know, bruises hurts. Do easily form that you're just like, what happened?
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Cotton Eye Joe?
Where did you come from? Where did you go?
I say that all the time and people look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like,
and I see... You've connected with me, and I understand you on a deep level. We have determined this evening that
we
understand each other on a much deeper level. Mm-hmm.
We had some major deep thoughts with Holly and Haley earlier in the evening.
I feel like, you know, obviously we're together weekly. But I feel like when we do get together, it's sort of this purge of not only all the craziness that's happened, but we're also... I feel like we're somewhat like caged animals.
Mm-hmm. we
get together and we're like, oh my God, we didn't tell you what happened this week. I feel like it's like that.
And that's the thing, is like
we don't speak otherwise.
Like we don't, I'm always aware that Holly is there and I can call her if I need her. Same vice versa. But like during the week, I think we're both just so busy in different ways.
Yeah.
That, like, we don't really communicate a lot, or, like, about nothing deep, you know?
There's not
just
time.
Just we don't have time. But
it
like
could be a quick little text
of, like, you know, here's this funny video, or, like...
Or somebody died.
Someone died recently. Here's their obituary.
It was...
That actually happened to us recently.
It's actually not funny.
It's not,
but
that did happen to us recently.
What's interesting is that someone that we had known and worked with had passed away, and I had seen it and sent it to Haley, so, you know, we were both earlier in the week. And it was so funny. One of our other colleagues, at the end of the week, she was like, I just really hate to tell you guys
this. I hate to
share this with you guys, but, you know, so-and-so has passed. And I was like...
Oh.
It was like at that moment, like, do we say we already knew this? I think I did.
I think you said I saw that. How sad. And I was like, I don't know if I even responded.
I don't think you responded.
I think I saw it and I was like in the middle of a crisis of my own and I was like, can't even.
And I was like, she is so torn up by this. She just needs a minute. But no, honestly, it was kind of funny because I was like, oh. We've kind of already processed this a little bit,
and, like,
I think.
It wasn't a shock. Like, he is an older person, and, you know, he lived a lovely, beautiful, wonderful, great life.
Had a great family.
Great family.
All the things.
You know.
Did a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Happy life, you know.
All the stuff.
It was a full, like, sad, but also full circle, like, you know.
Kind of that he's at peace
he's
and that
at
feels
peace,
nice and that's
that
comforting.
That is the comfort that we get from that.
Yeah. But yes, we don't speak often.
No.
We don't. So when we see each other, it's like,
We do. It is just like a, and I'm like, I have lists of things in my brain that I need to tell Holly before I leave tonight that I'm like, I didn't tell her this that I need to.
I know. Because I feel like because we don't talk outside that, it's definitely like, I just need to tell you. That is so different than like some of my other friends.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you also worry about like, I don't want to put this on you. Because my toxic trait as a person is I will kill myself to hold on to all my problems and everybody else's problems and take care of everybody else. But God forbid I bother anybody else with my...
with your issue.
That is my toxic trait, and I have to get better about that.
I have a lot of them. We won't go through all of them tonight. Toxic traits. Benny. It's fine.
No, it's all right. We all do.
So, I would like to talk about...
I got issues. You got them too.
I have many. I handle them with medication.
I don't...
It's great.
I have postpartum depression is real.
Speaking of, I need to take my meds.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me that you were pregnant.
No, God, no. God, no. God, no. That's what... Everyone, if you haven't taken your meds yet today, because you're probably listening to this in the morning, we're recording at night, let's all do it together.
Okay.
There I go.
We both have fake Stanleys that we're chugging from, so join us.
Pop
cheers.
Those guys back. Cheers. Take your meds. Nice. Take those meds. Do it now. I even brought my to-go pill bottle with me.
I feel like you are aging before my eyes. You know, that's a move that my mother would make.
Yep.
I gave her one that was blingy. Ooh. She enjoyed it.
I have many. I have a vacation one. That's a little pet, little cute little boxy one. I have that one that's my normal one, and it has a removable one, so if I go away for the evening or weekend, I can just take the days that I'm going. It's very nice.
Wow.
I'm 87 years old.
I would say so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now that we've all taken our meds together, let's talk about something real sad.
I'm glad y'all are prepared. Yeah. I didn't take any meds.
I didn't take her meds. I took mine. Okay, so we're going to talk about the case of Madalena Kojakari.
I feel like I've heard this name before.
Yes, you probably have, because it's very recent. So we're going to kind of talk about the timeline first of this case, and then we'll get into some of the, like, legal stuff that's happened since then, and, you know, kind of go from there. So Madalena Kojakari was a, I believe she was 11 years old at the time she went missing in Cornelius, North Carolina. I think she would be 12 now. Yeah, she was 11 at the time she went missing. So this all happened in 2002. 2022 is kind of when this all started in November.
2022 or 2002?
2022.
Okay.
I said 2022. Yeah, 2022.
All right. I went from 18 to 38.
Yeah.
Really quick.
Yeah, this is where we're at.
Okay.
2022. Last year.
That was amazing.
Last year. Okay.
Take me on a trip.
November 16th of last year.
Last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Christopher Palmatier, who was Madalena's stepfather, said that he believed the last time he saw Madalena was a week before his trip, his work trip, a date that fell on November 16th.
He believed.
Yep. On November 21st, Madalena was seen on surveillance video getting off of her school bus at 4:59 at the bus stop. 4:59 p.m. Okay. At the bus stop. November 23rd. Diana Kojakari told, which is Madalena's mother, Diana, told a school resource officer that Madalena went into her room that night to go to bed. Diana said she and her husband, Christopher, argued that night. So there's an argument. They got into an argument. All right. On Thanksgiving, November 24th, Diana and Christopher drove to his family's home in Michigan that next morning to recover some items. Christopher confirmed the same information to investigators. Diana said she went to check in on Madalena around 11:30 a.m. that day and noticed that Madalena was not in her room. So they've taken this weird trip to Michigan from Cornelius, North Carolina.
Without which is their 11-year-old.
Right. And then come back, I guess, and check, and she's not there.
Another thing about this is fight. Let's go on a trip together and abandon our preteen daughter.
Right. November 26th, Madalena said she waited until November 26th at 7 p.m. when Christopher returned home before asking if he knew where Madalena was. He said he did not know and asked her the same thing. Christopher said he asked Diana if she had hidden Madalena, and she said she asked him the same.
What?
Said no. They did not report her missing to the police at that time.
Okay, so let's just recap for a second here. Okay, so she waits for him to come home to ask. She doesn't act like a parent who is distressed and wouldn't call him immediately and say, "Oh my gosh, where I can't find her."
Yeah.
You know, where is she? Yep. All these things. Wastes more time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they question each other about hiding her. Hiding her.
Yeah.
That wording is really strange to me.
It's very strange. It gets stranger.
Okay.
Okay. So November 26th through those next 3 weeks. Christopher said he spoke with Diana several times about where Madalena was. Like, where is she? They both said they didn't know where Madalena was, but still didn't report her missing to the police for 3 weeks.
An 11-year-old.
Wondering where she is. But we're not reporting her missing.
Fishy.
December 12th, a school resource officer at Bailey Middle School tried to make a home visit for Madalena with the sixth grade school counselor. So home visits are something that I do for my school. Like, I'm very used to doing them. Sometimes I usually don't take a resource officer with me. I usually just take another staff member.
Yeah.
Unless it's a situation that I feel like I need my SRO to go with me. Or a deputy or somebody to, you know, just be there as some extra, you know, support. But this resource officer went with the counselor. The counselor said Madalena hadn't been to school since November 21st. No one answered the door, so they left a truancy packet at the house. Mm. So, and this is something that's really common with schools, you know, especially so in North Carolina, the compulsory attendance law is that students between the ages of 7 and 16 must be enrolled in school. So what that means for us, especially for school social workers and counselors, is we are constantly monitoring student attendance. So I try to make an effort that I have a report set on, you know, my students that if they miss 3 consecutive days in a row, it gives me an alert. That way they are on my radar of, hey, I probably need to call home and make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
Like, are they sick? 9 times out of 10, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, the flu's going around or COVID or, you know, something like that. But then sometimes I find out, like, they've had a death in the family and they're, you know, dealing with that and they just haven't let the school know. Or, you know, I find out, you know, hey, we're having a really big issue with, like, mental health and they are refusing to go to school and, like, we really need some support.
Right.
Or I don't get an answer. And then I start, like, I just kind of starts some red flags.
Yeah.
You know, if we get to the point where they've missed an entire week, you know, I'm calling daily, multiple times a day. Where you at? What's going on? You okay?
Calling mom and dad.
Calling mom and dad. If we get to the next week, I'm starting to plan, okay, I need to go out to the house and make sure that they're okay if I can't get a hold of anybody. Once they reach 10 days of unexcused absences, then that's when you're looking at truancy charges, where you're filing actual charges against either the student or the parent or both. So in this case, since it's middle school, it would likely be, I mean, you could do either way, but likely on the parent.
Oh, yeah.
I've had to file truancy charges before and I've filed on the student. And it was actually very successful. She's in school regularly now. It's great. But
what a happy ending.
Right. It doesn't usually happen that way.
Story.
But like, it did that time. But this is something that is done. Also, if they are over the age of 16, there's nothing legally we can do with them. Right. However, if they miss 10 consecutive days of school in a row, we drop them from the roll. Mm. And they're considered high school dropouts.
Yeah.
And we try to prevent that at absolutely all costs, because that's really a challenge later in life. Sure. So we, you know, we're trying to set meetings, we're trying to come up with plans or doing things to prevent that from happening. So with her being 11, she would fall into that compulsory attendance law.
Right.
So there, you know, and her being gone for 3 weeks, there was a holiday kind of in there. So I can see how the school was like, you know, well, maybe they're visiting family or like something, but right, no communication. So we're going to go visit, make sure they're okay.
No kidding.
So they go out there. They don't see anybody. Can't get anybody to come to the door. Leave the packet. December 15th, or December 14th, the counselor said that Diana called her to set up a meeting about Madalena. And she said that Diana told her that she would bring Madalena to school on December 15th and they would meet about the truancy. So I'm assuming this counselor is thinking like, okay, you know, there's something going on. Maybe she's refusing to come to school. Maybe there's a bullying issue. Maybe there's, right, you know, something going on that we can work out. Or, you know, is there a transportation issue? Is the bus not running the way educational it's supposed to issue run? Is that, you know, she can't, right, there's needs that are not being met that right we can help fill. However, on the 15th, Diana arrived without Madalena and met with the counselor. The counselor requested that the SRO step into the meeting as well. When he arrived, Diana said that Madalena had been missing since November 23rd. When asked why she didn't report Madalena missing until that day, Diana said she was worried that it might start a, quote, conflict between her and Christopher.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like the fact that she's prioritizing this man over mm-hmm her kid.
Yep. Also on December 15th, Christopher confirmed the information that Diana had said. He said he left for Michigan on the 23rd, but didn't see Madalena the day he left. He returned home on November 26th and said he and Diana, that he had asked Diana where Madalena was, and neither of them knew where she was.
Hmm.
So.
This is so weird.
It's super weird. All right. So, obviously both are arrested for correct not reporting her missing, because that is a huge, you know,
crime.
That's a crime. So during a hearing in December of 2022 in Mecklenburg County Court, because Cornelius, North Carolina, is a little bit north of Charlotte, North Carolina, which is in Mecklenburg County, a judge ordered that Madalena's mother, Diana Kojakari, who was 37, and her stepfather, Christopher Palmatier, who is 60, surrender their passports as a condition of their release if they are able to post bond. Christopher will also be required to wear an electronic ankle monitor as part of, you know, conditions of his release, right, if he is to make bond. At that time, they both remained in custody. Diana's bond was set at $250,000, and Christopher's was set at $200,000.
They're never making bond.
Right.
Yeah.
Both parents were arrested on December 17th, charged under a North Carolina law that requires guardians to notify police within, quote, a reasonable time when a child goes missing. That is not 3 weeks.
No.
That is like 24 hours or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since this is a missing kid, the FBI gets involved. So the FBI is involved. Local police are involved. I believe the State Bureau is involved.
Right.
The FBI came in and they actually released a surveillance video about a week after these two were arrested, that showed Madalena on the school bus, that bus footage
on the 21st
of November. And they said that this was the last confirmed sighting of Madalena. So each of them are facing felony charges for failure to report the disappearance of a child to law enforcement. We're both scheduled to appear in court, and they did appear in court, and that's when bond and all that stuff was set. So investigators developed and followed about 250 leads in the 12 days, you know, after she was actually officially reported missing.
Right.
Those leads led them across state lines, all over the world, pretty much. Like, they were getting tips from all over the globe. They said, we've interviewed hundreds of people in North Carolina, other states, and again, across the globe. Police knocked on the doors of about 245 homes as they went door to door in the Victoria Bay neighborhood around Madalena's home. Investigators have scoured hours of surveillance video from local businesses. They received multiple search warrants from Madalena's home to make sure, you know, they legally gathered each and every piece of evidence in an effort to find Madalena. One of the biggest challenges in this case, though, is the time. You know, those first few hours after a child goes missing, days are so, so critical and so crucial. So, you know, officials worked really hard to kind of put together that timeline that we went through at the beginning. I thought it was important to kind of have in our brain before we got into everything that was being done, just for some context of, you know, we didn't get this information until 3 weeks after she went missing. So as some of this was coming out, we get a little bit more information, so we're going to flesh out some of these details. So Diana told police that she had last seen her daughter at about 10 p.m. on November 23rd. She told police, quote, Madalena went to her room that night to go to bed. She stated that her and her husband, Christopher, argued that night, and the next morning he drove to his family's house in Michigan to recover some items. Diana said she then went to check on her daughter about 11:30 a.m. on the 24th, but the girl wasn't in her room, according to, you know, this arrest information.
Thanksgiving.
Right. So police said Diana told them that she'd waited until Christopher returned home at about 7 p.m. on the 26th to ask where Madalena was, which we've kind of been through. But this is like, you know, we're getting into.
So it would suggest that he took her
to Michigan,
but didn't return with her.
Right. So, you know, it's just weird. It's weird. So Diana was charged. We haven't found her yet.
Right.
So we're going to jump to April of 2023.
Okay.
A few months ago. Diana was charged while in prison with possession of a controlled substance. Authorities said that they had found a small, clear plastic bag inside of her shirt pocket that tested positive for fentanyl and cocaine. She told authorities that she had found the bag in the shower 5 days before.
In the prison shower.
Sure you did. So she was charged, and I think those charges have since, the drug charges have been dropped, and because I'm sure there was, you know, no proof or whatever. So, whatever. Cornelius police said they have received numerous tips on possible sightings of Madalena in various locations across the country. All those tips were thoroughly investigated and determined not to be Madalena. Court records released to a news station, Queen City News, stated that a recorded jail call with Diana was released to them. And it has Diana and another person. I can't exactly decipher, like, who all is talking on this phone. But Diana, it seems like it was maybe Diana and her mother.
Okay.
Were discussing some sort of bag of money, withdrawing cash, and a theory that the stepfather, Christopher, gave the girl away for money that he sold her into, like, trafficking or something.
Okay.
It's kind of the suggestion. And there's been articles that have come out, you know, that the grandmother believes that this is, that's what happened. That she was sold.
Okay. But again, this is this mother speaking out and saying, my kid's been kidnapped, something, like racing, you know, against the clock for her kid. I just think she has a part in this.
Oh, 100%. I do.
So maybe it was this plot of like, yeah, we're going to sell her for money or we're going to get this or that. I don't know.
Yeah. So
this is so weird.
There's all this other stuff. And I found an article and I didn't really include it so much in the story, but I think it's important to talk about. So Madalena and her mother, Diana, are from Moldova.
Gotcha.
Originally. So apparently, and I don't know 100% how accurate this is just like some web sleuth stuff and things that I was looking at. Diana apparently met Christopher through an online like dating site or something and, you know, married him and came to live with him. You know, she was at the time, there's like, I mean, 37 and 60. I don't know how, can't do that math in my 23.
Brain. 23.
Yeah. Years apart. And, you know, it's just, it's a, to not know somebody really that well and then to bring your kid.
Yeah.
To, it just feels fishy to me. Like, it just feels weird.
Feels potentially abusive.
Right.
That she was under duress, maybe. I don't know.
And apparently there was a lot of, you know, turmoil and things going on in her home country. And she wanted out and came here maybe in hopes of a better life for her and her daughter. And then ends up in this situation. Or, you know, maybe there was something sinister planned the whole time. I don't know. And this is all alleged, too, because neither of these people have been charged with any type of harm being done to Madalena. Although I think not reporting your kid missing for 3 weeks is, you know, harmful.
Is it that maybe she does understand how things work in the United States?
Possibly.
Is it that she was like, oh, you know, maybe cops are trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Like maybe where we're from, we don't, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make excuses for her, but it breeds some understanding knowing that she's not from these here United States.
Right. So, with all of that being said, I want to talk about something that happened recently, you know, in my neck of the woods.
Your neck of the
woods? My neck of the woods.
What is...
Nearby where, you know, where I'm from.
Okay.
So, and this is very, like, I don't want to add more fuel to this fire of, like, because nothing has been confirmed yet. Like, there was a statement put out by the FBI that, you know, nothing has been confirmed or anything. So I want everybody to take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt.
Threw it over my shoulder. Okay. Just,
it's out of here.
Tossed it.
Okay. So, this was actually, when did this happen? This was on
Monday?
Saturday, November, October 29th. October 29th. Yeah. So on Saturday. So recent. Hunters in the Pisgah National Forest, which is in Hot Springs, North Carolina, made a discovery when they happened upon some human remains in the woods. So these are hunters. Hunters immediately notified the Madison County Sheriff's Office, which then contacted the FBI. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, the way that this area is, because I'm very familiar with the area, I've been around that area a lot, this is very remote. Like, that's why it was hunters that found it.
Gotcha.
I mean, you don't just go here.
Right.
Like, this is, I mean, it is deep in the wilderness.
Gotcha.
Deep in the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
Where this place is. What I understand, since it's national forest land, it is federal.
Oh,
federal,
so then
land.
you would be charged with a federal crime.
So that's why the FBI was involved immediately. Other U.S. law enforcement agencies
Makes
were
sense.
Involved. The Sheriff's Office in Madison County was involved. I believe the State Bureau of Investigation was also involved
gotcha.
As well. lots and lots of people there. So they report this, goes to the FBI. Agents and deputies hiked out to the site on Sunday to begin their investigation because they had to get everybody in there. So they had to hike in. Like, I'm telling you, this is remote.
You know, a lot of them are like, I don't hike.
Yeah. This is strap your boots on and get you a
stick. Put your donut down. And that's terrible.
Start hacking through the wilderness to get there. I mean, this place is in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
Like, you don't, again, this is not, there's no hiking trails. There's nothing like that through here. You have to intentionally know where you are going to get to this point. I want to make that very clear. The FBI said Monday that remains were found in a rural area near Stackhouse Road, which is in the northwest town of Marshall. So it's before you get into Hot Springs. Stackhouse Road, though, is not far from Lonesome Mountain Road. So there was a sighting of a potential sighting of Diana Kochikari, Madalena's mother, in Madison County back in January of 2023. There was a statement put out. I don't remember seeing it, but I, as this was kind of coming out, I was looking it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's Madison County, which is, you know, kind of near the area that I live. Like, I mean, I'm through Madison County all the time.
Yeah.
I know the area well. I know Buncombe County very well. I know, you know, this kind of western region, worked in all these different places. So I was like, I don't remember seeing any of that. And looked it up, and sure enough, there was a statement put out by the sheriff of be on the lookout for this person related to this case. So she has been seen in this area. So they were like, hey, if anyone's seen this little girl in this area or has any information, let us know.
Yeah.
Nothing ever came of it. So, but she was apparently seen near Lonesome Mountain Road, which is near Stackhouse Road.
Gotcha.
So with that being said, there is kind of some speculation out there of, could these human remains be Madalena? Could this be her? Could we have found her here? I have read things online. You know, all of this is, you know, public information at this point right now. And all this stuff is running wild on, like, social media and on the internet. And, you know, people, I think people are hopeful in a way that they found
her, because it would be some resolution. Closure, yeah.
But also, like, hoping it's not her.
Yeah.
Because that means, you know, she's not with us anymore.
Right.
And something horrible has happened to her.
Yeah.
There is a, there was a report that came out that said, while the remains have not yet been identified, there was some early indication that said they potentially belonged to an older man.
Oh.
So just looking at the bones, but from what I've read, those remains are being sent to Quantico, Virginia, to the FBI's lab to be identified and analyzed there. Because, I mean, you can tell a lot from bones, but, like, in the field, and that, it's like, it's not as easy as, you know, TV makes it out to be.
Right.
So they're going to have to do a lot of things like dating, and, you know, there's no telling how long. I mean, they were skeletal remains. Like, there's no telling how long they've been there.
And in the outdoors.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about repeatedly how the outdoors affects decomposition.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so what I, you know, I just want to say again, like, you have to know where you're going to get to that spot. And what I don't want to happen is people stop looking for her because they think that this is her.
Right.
Because we have not had any confirmation that it is. Yeah, I hope it's not. You know, I hope that she is out there somewhere, and, you know, that we'll find her, and, you know, she's safe. But it was just very strange, the connecting pieces there.
That's very strange.
So
Wow.
She is still considered a missing person. You know, if you have any information about her, visit the FBI's website and search her name. We'll have a link to it in our show notes for this episode. That way you can click on it and see her photo. Our photo for the episode will be the missing flyer, as well. So you'll be able to see, the information on there. She's a beautiful little girl. Mm-hmm. Smart, bright, funny, just from everything I read, about her. So if, you know, our hopes are this is not her. It's not been confirmed at all in any way, shape, or form that this is her. But I thought I wanted to mention it because of all of the online stuff. Like, if you are to Google her name right now, this story about remains found in the Pisgah National Forest is one of the first ones to pop up. Gotcha. So I felt like I needed to include it as well. And that's something that is ongoing and happening right now in the area that we're from.
I'm glad that you did.
Yeah.
Because my gosh.
Yeah.
Who knew? That's crazy.
Yeah. So, obviously if you want to reach out to us with, you know, your thoughts on this, feel free to send us an email at mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. Find us on our Facebook page, Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. Our Instagram is mountainmysteries.appalachia, and our Patreon is patreon.com/mountainmysteries.
That's right. And let's just keep with North Carolina, Winston-Salem, ooh, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yes, I've been there quite a bit.
Yeah.
Here lately, especially. But yeah, anyway. For sure. Yeah, so big shout out. Thank you all for listening. This was a tough story.
And
it's weird.
Convoluted, and it's got so many pieces and things. And, you know, I think the biggest theory that people are running on for this one is that she was sold.
Hmm.
Which is a horrible thing to say, but also Charlotte is a big hub for trafficking.
Yeah.
So, and it can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be in the big cities, or, I mean, trafficking happens in small towns, in small communities,
yeah,
all the time. There's a ton of resources out there for people, if they can get help, but just knowing kind of some of the signs to look for.
Exactly.
Is important. But yeah, that's kind of the running theory right now, is that she was sold. So, you know, here's hope that she's found, and
keep us posted results from Quantico, and I want to know all the things and more.
And we're recording this episode just a little bit early just because it's so fresh. I wanted to get it on, like, recorded. So if for some reason before this episode airs, if there's something new that comes out, we will attach, or if we're not able to get together and record it, I'll attach it here at the end.
Gotcha.
So if there's a little blurb here at the end, it means that we've had some sort of update. But if not, we will keep you updated.
I would like you to go do 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 do. I don't mean to interject, but update.
Update, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you hear that the next little bit, then that's what that is. But if not, we'll keep you updated, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see you then.
Bye.
Bye.